So we've been exploring this possibility of relax, receive, allow, in the sitting, in the walking, in yogi jobs, in the in-between times. Here on retreat, we do explore this possibility of practicing mindfulness all day long, from the moment we wake up till the moment we go to sleep. And we do see, of course, how challenging it is. These are ideal conditions. These are ideal conditions for cultivating mindfulness all day long. And how hard is it? It's pretty hard. And so sometimes I say, you know, we are in the last evening, the last full day of the retreat, and so tomorrow the advanced retreat begins. And so we'd like to offer a little bit of thought, reflection on this advanced retreat. How do we work with relax, receive, allow? How do we work with mindfulness in the midst of our lives? And so the way we'd like to do this is to share this time. I'll start, I'll say a few thoughts, a few words about some of the things that I've explored, and we each have our favorite kind of practices to do, and then we'll like ping pong it back and forth, and Powan will come in as she wishes, in this co-created talk. That's what we're going to do here. We're just going to co-create this talk and see what happens. I mean, we've got some ideas, but we never know how these things will unfold. So I thought I'd start by sharing my main practice for daily life at this point in my meditation. And that is, it's very simple. It's really, really simple. It is recognizing when mindfulness returns. This moment of mindfulness returning, we get familiar with this moment in our sitting practice. And often we have a relationship with it that is not so helpful. You know, we wake up and it's like, oh, I haven't been mindful. I have to come back to something or other. In daily life, a lot of the practice is just noticing that moment, noticing the moment when mindfulness returns, and essentially celebrating it, recognizing, oh, this is what it's like to be mindful while in the midst of whatever it is that I'm doing, because that moment of mindfulness returning happens, it actually happens a lot more than you think it happens. It happens when you're walking across the street. It happens when you're picking up a glass. It happens when you're chopping vegetables. It happens when you're sitting down in a chair. It happens when you're turning on the radio. It happens when you're having a conversation with a friend. This moment of mindfulness, when we know that we are aware, we know that we are here and participating in whatever we are doing, in that moment, it's almost like the light comes on. It's almost like we go from being kind of lost in a world where we are unaware to being aware that we are picking up a glass or crossing the street. And there's nothing to come back to because we are back. We're already there. So this moment, when mindfulness returns, as I said, it happens way more than we think it happens. And what we can begin to do, what begins to happen with this practice, it's almost like a just setting an intention. I'd like to see if I can notice when moments of mindfulness pop up. Because we don't do those moments, right? We can't make them happen. This is another great thing about these moments. They are effortless. So this is an effortless daily life practice. It just takes a little bit of intention to connect with or recognize or have the sense of, I'd like to notice those moments when mindfulness returns. But in the moment when mindfulness returns, that it's like it's free. You didn't have to do any work for that one. And if you can just kind of let yourself inhabit that, just notice it. Just, this is what it's like to be doing whatever this is that I'm doing. So it's free in that way. It's effortless. And also, as we start to get familiar with it, you know, kind of setting that intention to recognize that moment, recognize those moments of mindfulness returning, as we start to recognize them, because they actually happen, I mean, it is because mindfulness is an ordinary quality of mind. It is something that's it's something that happens to us as human beings. It's nothing esoteric. It's nothing really exotic. It is a simple, ordinary capacity of our human minds, and it happens to us. And if we can begin to recognize it as it happens, it's like that familiarity that we gain with recognizing that moment of mindfulness returning begins to help us recognize it more. It's like we get sensitized to that experience. We get sensitized to the experience of mindfulness returning. And so we notice that it happens more than we thought it did. So this is a nearly effortless way to bring this interest in mindfulness into our daily lives. It does take some intentionality. It takes that sense of a commitment, maybe a reminder to yourself as you get up in the morning or as you go to bed at night. I want to remember this tomorrow. This is what I want to explore today. I'd like to notice these moments of mindfulness returning. And what I often recommend for people actually in daily life, I teach a lot of daily life practice in the community at IMC. I often recommend that we keep it really light for daily life. If we try to pick up mindfulness and try to do it 24/7 like we're doing here, I mean, here, mindfulness is pretty much your job description. That's what you're here to do. Whatever's happening, it's like mindfulness, that's what we are cultivating. But out in the world, we have so many other things that we are engaged with and have to do that if we try to pick up mindfulness as a job description in our daily life, most people that I talk to basically say something like, well, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do this. And the not having time to be mindful is because it's a project. Because we think it takes those cycles of energy to remind ourselves to be aware. That's what we're doing here. We are reminding ourselves to be aware regularly. And so what I like to suggest in daily life is, you know, let go of that reminding yourself to be aware. Set the intention regularly. And actually, any time that you notice that you have returned, recommit to that intention. Notice that the mindfulness has returned. Be there for that moment. And then recommit. I want to keep noticing this. And this kind of practice doesn't take a lot of effort. It is quite light. And you'll begin to find that you start to see a lot more about your life. You'll be able to bring this quality of mind that can be curious and interested and receptive and allowing into whatever it is that mindfulness returns to. So as we get familiar with that, the moment of mindfulness returning, we also may get familiar with there are times, it's almost as if when mindfulness returns, it's got its own momentum. Maybe it'll last for a couple seconds, or maybe it'll last for a minute or two. And we can also begin to get a sense of that momentum of mindfulness. And again, it's not something that we're trying to do. It's more like the other night in the Q&A period. Some of you weren't here, but I talked about the effort, the light touch of effort, being like riding one of those kick scooters that kids ride, not a motorized scooters, but one that you have to tap the ground on. And a light tap, 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 tap will get the scooter going. And then you ride. After a while, the momentum of that scooter gets going and you can ride. And you get familiar with what it's like to have that momentum. And you know that you can ride. And you know when the scooter begins to get wobbly, and then you put your foot down and you tap again. In the daily life, this is more what I'd encourage, is getting, you know, so that the moment of mindfulness returning will have some momentum. And here on retreat, we encourage, you know, keeping that scooter going. In daily life, more what I would like to encourage is recognizing that you've woken up and the scooter is going. And just kind of get familiar with riding that wave of mindfulness. You know, you may be walking across the street and you know, you just wake up into walking across the street, and you're seeing and you're feeling the breeze and you're knowing something about your inner state. And then a thought comes in and you're back. You know, it's like, that's okay. Just get on with your day. It's fine to just get on with your day. So this is one of my most useful tools for myself at this point. And what I find is that it creates this like thread of mindfulness through the day with very little effort. It does take the intention. That's the piece that you really have to kind of commit to, is connecting to, yes, this is something I want to do. I want to be able to recognize this. So now I'm going to pong it over to Pam.
I'm so inspired by listening. It's just so good. And I feel like I'm going to hopefully offer sort of another angle, but with all of the same principles that Andrea laid out so clearly. And one of the practices that I've worked with a lot myself and have, it's one of the key practices that I've worked with in the context of bringing what I think of as a kind of applied mindfulness to, at this point, I was going to say hundreds, actually some thousands of people in the workplace. And here's the essence of the practice. So we've talked about the qualities that it takes to do this practice of being present with whatever it is that's arising. And we've used words like it takes trust, patience, kindness, perseverance, tenderness, steadfastness. So there's all of these qualities that are cultivated as we are practicing with staying present, with being mindful moment to moment. One of the things that I love about Buddhist psychology, and in some ways distinct from some Western psychology, is that there is this orientation toward the potential to cultivate positive or wholesome states of heart and mind, where often in Western psychology it's much more kind of pathologically oriented, sort of what's wrong that needs to be fixed. So I say that as a way of inviting you to orient that way toward what I'm speaking to, which is similar to what Andrew was saying about setting an intention. So if there is a quality that you felt yourself touched by, or you saw arising in you, or you felt was supportive to you, or that you would like to have more of in your own practice over these days, or in your own life, then the idea is to set an intention to cultivate that quality throughout the day. And just as she was saying, there's not a lot of doing in this. I'm setting an intention to be kinder. This is an intention to notice when kindness arises. So much of the time, and you probably all can relate to this in the context of seeing how the mind works on retreat, so much of the time we notice what's wrong. We notice when we are, in relation to what you were saying, not mindful. So the emphasis on noticing that moment when mindfulness arises. So it's the same orientation to start to pay attention to when patience was there, to when kindness is there, to when whatever it is that, trust or receptivity or whatever it is that you are choosing, and to set an intention to remind yourself. You could remind yourself at the beginning of the day to reflect over the day. You could remind yourself as you're going into a meeting, a conversation, a presentation, a ride in traffic, whatever the circumstances are, to remind yourself of the quality, and then to watch for it. And the watching for it is a reorientation from not the times you're screwing it up, but watch for this quality arising, and to bring that kind of interest and curiosity, like, how did that happen? What supported it? What allowed? So you bring the same quality of kind of interest and curiosity to that. This is, again, I'm going to re-underscore, this is not a doing practice. So it's not so much that you're being asked to add another thing to your day, it's a how practice. It's a paying attention to the quality or qualities that are arising in how you're doing what you're already doing. And then, just as she was saying, it's not so much about having to squash more stuff into your already busy schedule. It's about remembering. It's about remembering to pay attention, remembering to notice, remembering to look for. Now, you may also notice when you're impatient, when you're not kind. That's okay. But our default is to go there. So really the emphasis is on the orientation toward when did it arise and what supported that. And it didn't have to arise perfectly, right? Even just a little bit is information for you. It's insight. It's helping to begin to undo the separation that we create so often, in which something like, real practice is when I'm sitting on my cushion. Real practice is when I'm going on retreat. And instead to begin to see this continuity in which we can really practice all the time. And these kinds of structures that we place around of setting an intention, of noticing, if I were to say, just be mindful all day, good luck. But if I say, be mindful of this particular quality, it brings a kind of focus to our mindfulness in the same way that concentration or settling brings a kind of focus to our mindfulness that allows us to be more effective in paying attention. Because just pay attention or be mindful all day long, it's too big, right? With so much going on, when the conditions aren't set up for us to be mindful all the time, it's hard enough here, right? But if we give ourselves something that we care about, that's touched us, that matters to us, and to begin to use that as a lens to begin to observe through, to be mindful through, it gives us a kind of tethering and grounding to our mindfulness throughout the day. Again, the downside of it is that sometimes people basically come back with a list of all the times they didn't. And it's easier to notice those. And so it takes some careful looking, right? We have to pay close attention to begin to see that, in fact, most of us are kind or patient or balanced or whatever the quality is more often than we think. It's just that most of the time we only notice the times that we're not, right? And this, like Andrew was saying, begins to build a kind of momentum. Because as we see what's possible for us, it's like, oh, uh-huh, well, I can continue this. And it can, the awareness of the presence of these positive qualities of heart-mind also begin to support our ability and willingness to keep practicing. It's a kind of encouragement. And the other thing I would just say is that I, in the practice, the way that I've done it, I often will pick a particular quality that I'd like to cultivate in myself and stay with it for an extended period of time. But you don't have to do that. You may have a day in which you think, yeah, today I just really want to focus on patience. Or today I really want to focus on courage. Your choice. There's no right or wrong. You get to pick what actually something that feels meaningful and true for you. The secret, of course, is that in some way it doesn't really matter what you pick. Because although it is the case that the quality or capacity that you choose is likely to be revealed more clearly, really a lot of what's happening is that it's giving you something that you care about to tether your mindfulness to, so that the mindfulness itself will, you know, deepen, will feel more interesting, will be connected to something for you that doesn't feel like, oh, I'm just supposed to be mindful all the time. So you get the idea. Ping.
Well, I knew it would happen. That I have a list of, like, you know, some 7 things, and new things arose as I listened to them. So I'm trying to decide how to navigate this. I think one piece I'll just follow on with that a practice around intention again. A beautiful kind of practice that can be a kind of simple thing. It can be just an orientation at the beginning of the day. Like, look at what you have to do in the day. Go to the grocery store or go to work. Maybe I've got some meetings. You know, here's a meeting I have to do with this person or this person. And aside from the normal kind of everyday intention about that, like we might go to the store to buy food. I mean, that's the ostensible reason we do that, right? But what intention do you want to bring to that activity? And maybe that could pair with this kind of exercise. Like, if kindness is what you want to explore, it's like, okay, you know, maybe I can just see if there's the possibility to be kind when I'm in the grocery store, or patient, or whatever the quality is that you're exploring. You know, so again, in using intention, intention's a very powerful daily life practice tool to look at what you have to do in advance and reflect on that. And then again, it's a kind of like you let it go and don't beat yourself up if you forget about that. That's some of the art form of the doing the daily life practice, that we will forget a lot. We'll forget a lot. And anytime you remember that you've forgotten, the practice there, so when you remember that you've forgotten, that is a moment of mindfulness returning. So right there, you've got that practice. Right there. Oh, mindfulness is back. So there, you've got that one going for you in that moment. And then just remind yourself of your intention in that moment, what it is that you're looking at. It's like, yeah. All day I've been forgetting about this intention of kindness, and yet I'm aware in this moment. And let me just recommit to it. And maybe I can have some kindness to myself about the fact that I've forgotten all day long, you know. So really just keeping that, the lightness alive and the playfulness alive in daily life. It cannot be a burden. It can't be that kind of picking up this heavy thing and carrying it around. I'm going to pong it back to you.
Pong. Well, so here's one that was not on my list. Building off of what you just said, which is sort of a way in which I have myself and offered many other people a kind of structure to do just what you were saying. And for some of you, structure may feel like a burden, in which case, don't do this. But for some people, having a little bit of structure can actually be a support, like a trellis, you know, to grow something. So the structure is something that I've referred to sometimes as bookends practice. And it's a way of framing your day with practice. And by framing your day with practice, what's really useful is then the whole day becomes the practice field. Remembering, forgetting, remembering, forgetting. But this all by itself is an enormous support. And it is a kind of reorientation, again, so that practice isn't this isolated little thing we do on our cushion somewhere. But actually, our day becomes the practice field. So the AM bookend, if you will, is a setting of intention. And it can be, you know, a whole ritual that you do. And it can be a simple reminding yourself of, my intention today is to practice patience. Or in this particular event that I'm going to, I want to really focus on whatever a quality is, for example. So beginning of the day, looking over the day to see where there are opportunities, or setting of an intention. This can be done if you are like more formality with, it can be done at the end of a sitting if you sit in the morning. It can be done with a bow or an offering of incense or a, so any of those things can help support and structure if you're a person who likes support and structure. Then on the end of the day, the evening bookend practice is a little bit of reflection. And again, this could be very light. You could just look back over the day and say, where in the day did I notice patience, kindness, courage, whatever it is? And that's it. And for others, it could be a more elaborate. It could be a journaling practice in which you do that. It could be a practice that you do in the course of a meditation. It could be more of a formal inquiry. So there's all kinds of shapes within which you can do this. That the main piece is to have a way in which your whole day, wake up, go to sleep, is framed by practice. And my experience with this and with many other people is that even if you only remember once, you know, the setting of the intention through the course of the day, what happens is that we start to feel our whole life in a different way. We begin to feel our life as our practice. That's good for now.
So I want to follow on with thinking about reflective practice a little bit more. Mostly in this retreat, we have been cultivating moment-to-moment practice. There are times when reflective practice comes into retreat, and actually for some of you have actually suggested it. At times a reflective practice might come into retreat in that a thought arises, a memory arises, and we may encourage you in the meetings, we may encourage you not to just simply look at that and say, oh, thinking, come back to the breath, but, oh, there's a thought. Ooh, how does that thought affect me? What's there? What emotions are arising in relationship to that thought? This is, in our practice here, this is not exactly a reflective practice because that thought has arisen. It is just what has arisen. And to be honest with ourselves, it's like, oh, this is what's here with that thought, and not trying to bypass it to go to something else. And yet reflective practice uses the same understanding or the same function in a way that thought in the mind creates experience. And so a lot of times, you know, people talk about, you know, it's just so fast in the midst of daily life. I'm in a situation and I'm already blurting something out that I wish I could take back, or I'm already reacting. How do I work with this? And I do have some suggestions on that, and I'm going to save those if we have some time a little bit later to speak about that. But what I'd like to explore now is because it does happen so fast often in our daily life, one thing that we can do is at the end of a day, you know, if something has happened like that, this is more of a practice. This is more of a choice. It's a recognition that, wow, there's something that happened today that I'd really like to look at a little bit from a meditative perspective. And so this is a reflective practice where I like to suggest first, settle in meditation. Before you go into the meditation, reflect on whatever question it is or situation it is that you want to explore. Just get that. Either frame it as a question or remember the situation, but then let it go for a little bit. And then let yourself just settle for, say, 5 minutes with the breath, or just however most easily you settle. Open awareness or hearing or whole body sensations, whatever settles you most easily for 5 minutes or so. And then allow yourself to bring that scenario into your mind, whatever it is, the conversation with that coworker that so charged you. You can let yourself remember for like 30 seconds or so, you know, create the image in your mind. Remember who was there, what they were saying, where you were standing, what you were doing. Let yourself recreate that experience. This is using thought in your mind. And thought is extremely powerful. When we bring thoughts into our mind, especially about situations that have had a charge, in general, the charge will arise. And that's the point here, is that it gives you an opportunity in a more controlled setting to be available for that arising of the feelings, of the reactions, of the anger, of the hurt, of the frustration, of the confusion. And so you begin to, in seeing that, so you let the situation arise in your mind and then let go of the situation and turn to the feelings. Let yourself be with the feelings for 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes or so. You don't have to go back to the scenario, but just explore what is that? What does this evoke? What does this evoke for you? And then, after 5 minutes or so of that, you might bring another question into your mind. How might the Dharma have supported me in this situation? And then let yourself kind of sit with that question. What might have supported you there? And this isn't about beating yourself up or telling yourself, I should have been able to do this. But it's more creating the conditions for the capacity, first of all, the capacity to be able to meet the rapid arising of these experiences that happen as they happen in daily life, only it's a little more contained and controlled here in this situation. And then to reflect a little bit on, again, our intention, our values, and how those might support us in a charged situation. So that whole thing might take 15 minutes or so to explore. And just see what happens. That kind of practice, it basically gives you a little bit of practice with being with the kinds of things that arise really rapidly in daily life, but in a more controlled environment. It's like you've got the lab, you've got the mind lab, where you bring that scenario into the mind lab, and it's like, okay, what's here? Can I be with this? And using, in this situation, it would use relax, receive, allow. Those tools of what's here? Can I allow it? And maybe something of the attitude at the same time of, you know, what is my relationship to this frustration that's arising? I am right. That person should not have said that thing. Okay, well, what does that feel like? Feels like those turkeys at Spirit Rock. Puffing up. That's that experience. So we get the sense of what it's like to have that happen when we can be mindful of it. So that's probably good. Pong.
Yes. Oops. So again, inspired. I was not on my list. Here are some additional things to consider in sort of the PM reflective practice that I was proposing that build on what you were saying, which is that if you do some kind of practice in which you reflect back over the course of your day, or it could be a particular event, and something positive happened, one of the beautiful practices and really qualities that is named and explicitly cultivated in Buddhist teaching is the quality of generosity or dana. And a simple practice for cultivating the spirit of generosity is what's traditionally called a sharing or offering of the merit, of the goodness. So when you reflect and see that you behaved well, that something went well, the reflection includes taking that in and then offering it out, sharing. It's sort of the anti-tanha, grasping, clinging practice, right? You offer it out. And offering it out means, may the goodness that I experienced, may these positive qualities of whatever it is, whatever happened, be shared. It could be shared with a particular person who's suffering. It could be shared with all beings, but it's that generous gesture of offering. And it's a really a practice that begins to build a kind of connectivity, that we feel ourselves connected with others. And if what you notice when you reflect is, all I can see are all the ways that I screwed up, then you can do an alternate practice, which is called forgiveness. Right? And so either way, whatever it is that you reflect on and you notice, if what you notice is, wow, I really wanted to be patient and I totally lost my cool, then you can reflect and actively remember the moment and forgive yourself and release it. It's a kind of generosity to yourself. So these are just kind of additional flavors that you can add into this kind of slightly a different orientation, but also a reflective practice. This is so fun, huh?
It is.
We're having fun.
I find the reflective practice to be really powerful in daily life. The simplest form of the practice can be described as choose a theme. It might be reflecting back on something that happened. It might be a Dharma theme you're interested in. How does impermanence show up in my life? Or it might be, what's the value of ethical behavior? Or it might be, how do I make a choice about this thing or this thing, this fork in the road in my life? So, you know, there's something in which you'd like some kind of contemplative reflection on. Just framing a question. Sitting, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, drop the question into your meditation. And then let go of the question and just see what the ripples are. Relax, receive, allow the impact of that question on your system. You might repeat that multiple days with the same question, especially one that is a decision kind of question. I recommend this a lot for people who are uncertain about how to decide something. And it's like, you know, we think about things, we try to figure, can I figure it out by thinking about it, and this offers a different avenue of information for so many of the things that go on in our lives. A more, different side of things can come up. So you could reflect on the same question multiple nights in a row, and I sometimes suggest for people, if they're doing that, that they, you know, just take a few notes at the end of the reflection and you keep coming back to that question. You don't follow a thread. You know, it's like you just stay with the ripples of the question. You don't go with ripples of the ripples. So if while you're thinking about one particular question or reflection, another question comes up, you don't then follow that one. It would just be like, okay, that's a question that came up around this. Come back to the original question. And so it allows a kind of contemplative doorway for different. There's so much information in our system that we don't habitually connect with in daily life, and this gives us a space to relax, receive what's here around a theme, and explore allowing it and maybe making a little note of it over the course of a few days, and then going back and reviewing those reflections.
So I just want to expand it out a little further. As you see that we're talking about mindfulness, we're talking about the cultivation of heart qualities, we're talking about intention, reflection. There are so many Dharma doors. meditative practice is one. But there are Dharma doors that are more devotional practices. So it may be that you feel tugged or pulled to bow or chant or recite or read something inspirational in that way. These can become doorways into practice for you. Maybe service is a kind of practice. You get the idea. There are many, many ways in. And sometimes we kind of preference, we imagine that, you know, again, sitting or even retreat practice is at the top. But the truth is that the Buddha taught many, many different kinds of practice, oriented toward the understanding that there are many, many different kinds of beings. And so what it is, and this is a good reflection to leave with, whatever it is that's really touched you deeply as you've been here, to follow that, to trust that. Maybe you want to engage in more study of something. You get the idea. So just to really encourage you to understand that there are many, many ways in, and many of them are complementary. And sort of like when you're in college and you take a class here, or you're in some kind of training and you learn something here and then you learn something there, and they resonate off each other and deepen the whole. There's a way in which, as we extend our understanding of what Dharma practice is, it can deepen the whole of it for us. So really, in this is a kind of encouragement to feel into what's been resonant for you, to feel into what's calling you, and to trust that. To trust that you finding and following a Dharma path that feels true for you now is good. And it may change and shift over time. But to really kind of widen the lens, widen the what's possible in terms of the various ways that we can practice.
That seems like a good place to stop.
Okay.
Shall we sit for a few minutes?
Yeah. So we'll end there in our nice wide field of Dharma practice and sit together.
A couple of announcements before the sitting, and then we'll just sit and be in silence again.